Module 3, Application Types. You'll learn a little about the different application types in this module. Learn the fundamentals of national, international patents, and patent cooperation treaty applications, also called PCT. Foreign filing requirements will also be covered. There are two parent application types, non-provisional and provisional. Learn the differences between the two and what their major requirements are. In addition, there are many subsequent patent application types. These include divisionals, continuing, CIPs, CPAs, substitutes, RCEs, and reissues. There are also SIRs, which were repealed in the America Invents Act, or AIA, and we'll discuss those as well. Nationality. National applications are those that are filed to the USPTO. They are written in order to gain a U.S. patent, and therefore they must follow the rules and regulations established by the USPTO. International applications are those that are filed in order to gain protection in countries other than the U.S. International applications can be filed under the Patent Cooperation Treaty, or PCT. PCT applications were set up to facilitate the idea of a single global initial application. Just imagine how complex things would be for an applicant trying to gain intellectual property protection for their new idea in a dozen different countries. How would they even keep track of all the different filing dates, let alone the paperwork? And that's where the PCT comes in handy. A single PCT application may be filed to the applicant's home country, and then later they may designate all the other countries they would like to apply for a patent in. PCT applications may only be used to apply for protection in PCT member countries. Many countries belong to the treaty, but not all. Before September 16, 2012, an application filed abroad may gain classification as a national application by entering the national stage. The date of the national stage is treated as the filing date of the application. After September 16, 2012, an international application filed under the PCT, in which the basic national fee has been paid, may gain classification as a national application. Foreign filing. By filing an application to the USPTO, an applicant is only applying for a patent in the U.S. But what if the applicant wants to gain global protection for their invention? As previously stated, a PCT application designating the specific member country's protection is sought for may be filed. Otherwise, a separate application for each and every country protection is sought and must be filed. Individuals who plan to file for a patent in only a few countries usually just file separate applications for each country. There is an important note to make here, though. Once an individual files for a U.S. patent, they may not file the same application in another country for 6 months without first obtaining a foreign filing license. It is a violation of the law to immediately file an application in a foreign country after filing one in the U.S. An inventor may avoid the penalty by retroactively filing for a foreign filing license. The petition for a retroactive license must include a list consisting of the names and filing dates of all the foreign countries the application was filed in. In addition, an oath must be sent in, formally indicating that the premature foreign filing was accidental. Of course, a large fee should also be expected. Parent applications. There are many different U.S. patent application types. These application types may be used under a wide variety of circumstances. The trick is to learn when to use which application. In this section, we will discuss the two parent application types, the non-provisional and the provisional application. We refer to these as parent applications because they may be filed first without any other preceding application. Subsequent or offspring applications are those that are filed after a parent application. Provisional applications do not require claims. They require a cover sheet identifying the application as a provisional application, a specification, drawings where necessary, and a fee. In addition, they are never examined or even sent to an examiner. Instead, they expire after 12 months, no matter what. Provisional applications are filed to hold the idea behind the invention until the inventor has the time and/or the money to file a regular non-provisional application. If a regular non-provisional application is filed before the 12-month expiration of the provisional, then the non-provisional application will receive the earlier provisional filing date. Non-provisional applications are also called regular patent applications. These may be filed for utility, plant, or design-related inventions. Non-provisional applications include a specification, claims, drawings where necessary, and eventually an oath or declaration, and a filing fee. Once a completed non-provisional application is received, the PTO assigns a filing date to it and eventually begins reviewing it. The three different types of patents available as non-provisional applications include utility, design, and plant patents. Utility patents are those relating to mechanical inventions with function. While a utility patent protects the way an article is used and works, a design patent protects the way an article looks. Design is inseparable from the article to which it is applied and cannot exist alone merely as a scheme of surface ornamentation. It must be a definite, preconceived thing, capable of reproduction and not merely the chance result of a method. In other words, in order to qualify for a design patent, the claim subject matter is the design embodied in or applied to an article or manufacture and not the article itself. Design patents must be ornamental, novel, non-obvious, and meet the criteria for patentability. A plant patent may be granted for a new and distinct variety of plant that is asexually reproduced. Cultivated sports, mutants, hybrids, and newly found seedlings, other than a tuber-propagated plant or a plant found in an uncultivated state, may obtain a plant patent. All plants are patentable except bacteria, those that are tuber-propagated, plants that are not invented or discovered in a cultivated state, asexually reproduced plants, and plants that are obvious. Tuber-propagated plants are not patentable even though they reproduce asexually because they are propagated by the same part of the plant that is sold as food. Plants capable of sexual reproduction are not excluded from consideration if they have also been asexually reproduced in the past. Asexually propagated plants are those that are reproduced by means other than from seeds, such as by the rooting of cuttings, by layering, budding, or grafting. Offspring. In the previous section, we discussed the two types of parent applications, the non-provisional and provisional patent applications. These are referred to as parents because they may be filed in the absence of any previous patent application. On the other hand, offspring or subsequent applications may only be filed after a parent application has been filed. Things would be so much simpler for the patent practitioner if provisional and non-provisional applications were the end of the story, but there are several other patent application types. Offspring applications, termed second or subsequent applications, are also a possibility. Applicants have choices when it comes to these offspring applications. Stress the S. Divisional, continuing, continuation in part, also called CIP, continued prosecution applications, also called CPA, reissues, SIRs, and substitute applications may all be filed as offspring applications after the parent application has been filed. We will discuss each offspring application type briefly in the sections that follow. Divisional application. Here's an example illustrating divisional applications. Inventor John files a patent application June 1, 2013, claiming a new type of air conditioner unit and a new type of furnace. Both the air conditioner and the furnace use completely different principles to work, but since John isn't familiar with patent law, he puts them both in the same patent application. They are both household temperature regulating appliances invented by him, so he believes they can just be submitted together. Months after filing the application, the PTO lets John know he filed incorrectly. He should not have included more than one invention in the same application out of convenience. So let's go over John's options. Basically, either the air conditioner or the furnace must go from the application. John immediately chooses to keep the furnace in the original application. But does he totally lose out on the air conditioner idea? Or can he file a brand new application for the air conditioner? The best solution is for John to file what's called a divisional application claiming the air conditioner. His original application could now claim the furnace only, and the divisional could claim the air conditioner. If done properly, both applications will have the same filing date, the date he filed the original application on, which was June 1, 2013. One note to make is that divisional applications must be filed while the original application is still pending. Continuation in part application. The last section explained how we could get Inventor John's application mess squared away where he tried to include more than one invention in a single application. However, to continue with this example, what if a few months after filing the divisional application, John comes up with a great way to make his furnace run more efficiently? So even though he already filed the application, he now wants to add to it to improve on the original invention. What are his options now? Does he file a brand new application and just drop the original furnace application? Can he keep both? Or should he just forget about the improvements? Luckily, the PTO has thought this through already, and as a remedy, they've created what's called a continuation in part, or CIP, application. By filing a CIP, John can cover the improvements to his furnace invention without having to start over by filing a brand new application. If he files a CIP application, then the improvements will have the filing date of the CIP, which would be a later date, while the old material will still keep the filing date of the original, which was June 1, 2013. Keep in mind that a CIP always repeats a substantial portion of the earlier application while adding in some new material. One rule about CIPs is that they must be filed while the first non-provisional application is pending. So if John waits until after his original furnace application issues into a patent, he would have to file a brand new application claiming his furnace improvements. Reissues. Let's keep going with the Inventor John example. Suppose all of John's patents are granted. At this point, he now has three patents: a non-provisional claiming the original furnace idea, the CIP covering the improvements to the furnace, and the divisional patent covering the air conditioner. A few months after the air conditioner patent issues, John sends the air conditioner plans off to a development company. During the process of manufacturing the air conditioner, the company realized that something wasn't quite right. John is frantic. Luckily, he knows how to fix it, but his patent is wrong. In his haste to file the divisional application, John didn't quite communicate the methods correctly. So now what? Should he file a new patent, or will the USPTO take amendments after the patent is issued? The solution is for John to file a reissue of the patent. Reissues may be used when the claims or specification of the original patent are not quite right due to an error made without any deceptive intention. The result of the error is that the patent must be deemed wholly or partly inoperative or invalid. The error might be a defective specification or drawing, or a patent practitioner's failure to appreciate the full scope of the claims. A reissue filed within 2 years may even be entitled to broader claims than those in the patent application. If the reissue is approved, it will simply replace the earlier filed patent and expire when the earlier filed patent term was supposed to. Nothing is gained, but nothing is lost either, except the money it will cost to file the reissue. An alternate method for correcting errors in an issued patent, whether on the part of the patent office or the applicant, is to use a certificate of correction. These may be used for minor mistakes that do not involve adding in new matter or that require a re-examination. Filing a reissue is advised to correct any mistakes that are not correctable by a certificate of correction. Continuing application. Just with John's patenting frenzy alone, you've learned about divisionals, CIPs, and reissues. You also learned a little about provisional and non-provisional applications. But there is more. Continuing applications are another application type that can be used. Essentially, they are a second application for the same invention claimed in a prior non-provisional application. A continuing application must be filed while the parent application is pending. In addition, it must claim the benefit of the parent under a domestic priority claim. Continuing applications must disclose the same subject matter as the original. You can have as many continuing applications as you need, a second, third, even fourth application by the same applicant for the same invention is possible. However, continuing applications must disclose the same subject matter as the original and must be filed by the same applicant. So, why use a continuation application? Perhaps the prosecution isn't going well and the original application needs to be scratched and rewritten. In instances like these, a continuing application can serve to be highly useful. One important note to make is that parent applications are never abandoned when a continuing application is filed, since the continuing application will claim the filing date of the original. Continued prosecution application. In addition to continuation applications, there is also what's known as a continued prosecution application, or CPA. These are phased out for plant and utility applications. You must use a request for continued examination for these, as discussed in the next section. But CPAs may still be used for design applications. These may be used if you have a design application that isn't doing so well during its prosecution. In this case, you may file a CPA rewriting the application. Although the application may be rewritten, the claim design will have to be the same as the one filed in the original. In addition, the parent application will be abandoned as a result of filing a CPA. The CPA must be filed while the parent application is still pending, meaning before the parent is abandoned or the issue fee has been paid. Request for continued examination. To round out the continuations, there is also the request for continuing examination, or RCE. This is not exactly an application type, but a way to continue the examination of an existing application. So it makes sense to discuss it here. Filing an RCE provides a means for the applicant to continue with the prosecution of his or her application in the event that a final rejection is sent out or a notice of allowance has been issued. At that point, it is considered that prosecution is closed. Filing an RCE is not available if the application has been abandoned or the issue fee is paid. RCEs may not be used for design patents. In these cases, the applicant needs to use a CPA, as discussed previously. An RCE must include a fee along with new arguments that advance the application. It cannot just be used as a stall tactic. For an application to get where the prosecution is closed, it has already gone through 2 rounds of office actions. So something new must be added, like an amendment, new arguments, or new evidence. The same subject matter and the parent must be claimed in the RCE. And again, there should be a new reason for prosecution to be opened. The prior application will not be abandoned when an RCE is filed, since the latter will claim its filing date. Substitute applications. A substitute application is essentially the duplicate of a previously abandoned application. Substitute applications must be filed by the same applicant and must have the same disclosure as the previous application. A substitute application is an entirely new application and is never co-pending with the parent application. Therefore, the substitute application will not get the original filing date after it issues as a patent. A substitute application will not have been protected at all during the time between the filing of the parent and its filing date. These do not get the benefit of the filing date of the prior application. Statutory Invention Registrations, or SIRs. The America Invents Act, also called AIE, repeals statutory invention registrations, or SIRs, as of March 16, 2013. But here's a summary of how they used to work. If a statutory invention registration was filed for a claimed invention, the file was placed in the public domain, meaning any and all members of the public will have access to it. It was published in the Official Gazette to become a prior art reference. The SIR only serves as a printed notice of the disclosed invention. No one can ever gain a patent on that particular invention. However, the owner of an SIR will not be able to exclude others from using, selling, or making his or her invention. The inventor must agree to waive the right to receive a patent. In a sense, a statutory invention registration is a cross between a patent and a publication. A published SIR will be treated the same as a U.S. patent for all defensive purposes. It may be used as a reference as of its filing date in the same manner as a patent, and it may provide support for rejections as prior art under any section of 35 U.S.C. 102. SIRs are most commonly used by the federal government. The option is rarely used by private companies or individuals. SIRs are expensive, and the inventor will achieve identical results just by publishing the subject matter in a book, magazine, or journal. In the past, to apply for an SIR, the inventor would have needed to send in a complete description of the invention, which should be in the form of a specification with informal drawings. An oath or declaration, formal drawings, or claims are not required with the application. And again, the America Invents Act has repealed SARs as of March 16, 2013.